It's a fascinating clip. It's a great clip, actually. Have you ever seen the series on? I think last year the series was called The Bible. It was on Channel 4, I think. It's called The Bible. It's about three or four episodes, lasting an hour each. Fantastic series. Takes you right from Genesis all the way through. You can get it on DVD, and there's little snippets on YouTube. But it's fantastic series, and I do encourage you to think about watching it. But this is obviously the bit about Palm Sunday, and today is Palm Sunday, and that's what we're reflecting on, what we're thinking of. And I think that really helps us just to get a glimpse of what it might have been like on that first Palm Sunday, just a little bit about what it could have been like as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And it's that familiar story that we've heard so many times before, his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But it was so symbolic. That entry into Jerusalem had so many things going on around that we don't understand because we're not Jewish. But there was so much going on, which hopefully I might allude to a little bit as I talk to you for the next 10 minutes or so. So as we go through, just pray that you might have your eyes open, that God might actually speak to you, and you might just learn something new today as we prepare for Holy Week and all that means for us as Christians. So let's look back at what happened all those years ago. Firstly, I want to say that it was planned. Firstly, it was planned. You see, this ride into Jerusalem didn't just happen like a journey to the shops to go and get some bread. It wasn't just like that. It was a planned event that Jesus had prepared for. It was Passover time, and as we heard in the video, it was a Passover. There was thousands, it said, that were heading to the great city of Jerusalem with a temple. And you saw a little image of the temple. Apparently the temple was absolutely vast. It was huge. And all the Jews from the known land would come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations. So they headed there. And as the clip showed, that's what exactly was taking place. Jews from all over the world were making their way. Jesus couldn't have chosen a more dramatic moment. It was into a city that was surging with life, surging with people who were keyed up with religious fervor and expectation that he rode into. It was well planned and thought out. And likewise, I want to say to you today that Jesus has a plan for you, which is well planned and well thought out. And I don't believe for one minute that you're sat here in these pews on this day at St. Anne's because of just a chance encounter, that you just chose to come. I believe that Jesus wants you to be here today. And if he wants you to be here today, and he wants to speak to you today. And so it's my prayer that you are open to what he might want to say to you. He has a plan for your life. And part of that means being here today. Secondly, it was dangerous. It was a really dangerous thing. I think we picked up a little snippet of that when we saw the Pharisees there in the temple. He was a wanted man. Jesus was a wanted man. The Pharisees and the leaders of the day had had enough of Jesus. They were plotting his downfall, and they were plotting it quickly. They hated him, and they hated him because he continually challenged society's norms. He continually challenged their motives and their plans. He even called them hypocrites. It was a massively dangerous thing for Jesus to enter into that city. But it was all part of God's plan for you and for me. But it was a plan that was going to cost Jesus his life. Now, there's no way that us sitting here in church today can be considered dangerous in any way. But for many Christians around the world, being a Christian is a very dangerous thing. And it's a brave step that could cost them their lives. Following Jesus down the centuries has been a massively costly business. And I found this staggering when I found this fact out when I was preparing for today. Did you know that this century, we have seen more Christian martyrs than in any other century throughout history? I find that absolutely staggering, that this century we've seen more Christian martyrs. Being a Christian is a dangerous thing in other parts of the world. We take it for granted here. It's very easy and far too comfortable to be a Christian here. When we become Christians, one of the important initiations into the Christian faith is baptism. And symbolically, there's a whole lot going on in baptism, which I always talk through with the baptism families when we meet for our preparation. When we put children, when we put them in the font, we don't put them in the font, do we? When we go to the font and I baptize them with water, it's symbolic of full immersion baptism. And a full immersion baptism is what used to be the case when adults are baptized, and still is the case. Sometimes churches hire in pools, swimming pools, and we can put people in, or you can still get baptized in rivers and lakes. All those kind of things still happen, and they're really exciting. But actually, what it happens in baptism, when someone goes under the water, it's symbolic of dying to our old ways, of dying to our old self. The Jews believe that Sheol is the place of the dead. They call Sheol the place of the dead. They believe that that was under the water. So when someone goes under the water, they are dying to their old self. And when they come up out of the water, they are raised to new life in Christ. They are born again. It's a fresh start. It's about rising in Christ as a new person. We need to stand up as new Christians, as people, standing up for our faith and standing up for Christ. And we also need that courage to tell others about our faith and to tell others about what Jesus has done for us. And okay, there might be a little bit of a danger there that someone might just poke fun at us. Someone might give us a bit of a hard time. But it's nothing at all compared to what our brothers and sisters have to face around the world. And absolutely nothing compared to what Jesus faced for each one of us. Thirdly, it showed that the king was coming. It pointed to the king. Jesus rode in on a donkey, and it was a donkey that had never been ridden before. And he came into Jerusalem demonstrating to the Jews exactly who he was. And in that film, we heard the chief scribe saying, he was quoting from Zechariah 9, where it says, see, your king comes to you and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that was set out in Zechariah hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. He came on a donkey, not a stallion. A donkey was a creature of humble service, reminding us that Jesus came to serve. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, coming to serve each one of us. A donkey also was used for carrying. You've all seen images of donkeys laden down with stuff. A donkey was used to carry huge burdens. Jesus came to carry the biggest burden ever imaginable. He came to carry our sin and the weight of our sin, and he took it with him to the cross. The donkey is also a symbol of peace, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And in the clip, you would have seen what the crowds were doing. They were throwing the cloaks down in front of the donkey. They put their cloaks down in front of him, and they were saying, "You are our king," by doing that. It was a symbol of actually, he was a king that was coming into town. They only put cloaks down for royalty. Those who claim Christ as king must lay their all before him. There's a real challenge there for each of us, isn't there? I wonder, if you proclaim Christ as your Lord and King, do you lay your all before your King? Others in the crowd took palm branches and they waved them and they spread them on the road. The children of Israel used palm branches at the Feast of the Tabernacles. That was a feast that was a token of liberty, of victory and joy. King Jesus entered into Jerusalem to bring all those things, liberty, victory, and joy. And the crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." When the children of Israel carried branches to the Feast of the Tabernacles, they would cry out, "Hosanna," as they walked to that feast, waving the branches. And in fact, the branches became known not as palm branches, they became known as the Hosannas. It was the Hosanna that they waved. And what does Hosanna mean? Does anyone know what Hosanna means? It means save now. How symbolic is that, that they were waving palm trees to the King of Kings who was about to save the world through his death on the cross? That's exactly what Jesus came to do, to save now. Jesus was indeed the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Kings, and he'd come in a way to save that no one had ever thought possible. And finally, number four, following Jesus is not for the faint-hearted. The first thing he did, again, it alluded to it on the clip, the first thing he did as he entered into the city was to cleanse the temple. He went into the temple and he cleansed it, and he made it once again a house of prayer. Jesus demands that you and I must be cleansed, and we must be purified, and we can only be purified and cleansed through his spilt blood on the cross. Being a Christian, I've got to say this, is much, much more than just coming to church once on a Sunday or once a month. Being a Christian demands much, much more than that. Remember those crowds that were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David"? Less than a week later, they were shouting, "Crucify him, kill him." How fickle people can be. How fickle we all can be when we turn our back on Jesus. He gave his life so that we might live. And following him means we've got to give a lot back to him. He was fully committed to the task that he had to accomplish. He wasn't wishy-washy, take it or leave it. You know, at any moment during the whole of the next week that's going to happen as we remember Holy Week, at any moment during that week, Jesus could have just turned around and said, "Stop it." He had the power just to stop it at any point. But if he did, then the whole of salvation would not have happened and our redemption would not be able to be fulfilled. So he went through with it and it cost him everything. There's no room for a wishy-washy Christian, take it or leave it Christian. You're either in it or you're not in it. And if you're in it, you've got to give yourself to him. And he wants you to give yourself to him. Today's Palm Sunday. And from now on, we're looking towards the cross and that awful death. But next Sunday is Easter Day. And we celebrate the most glorious day ever and that wonderful resurrection that happened over 2,000 years ago. And that resurrection is all about life, life in him. Because Jesus died that we might have life to the full. Being a Christian does demand that we give ourselves to Christ. And that does mean that there will be sacrifices. But Jesus gave it all for you. What are you prepared to give to him? And remember, when we do that, then actually we will really know life in all its fullness. Perhaps for the first time, we'll know life in all its fullness. That ride into the city was hugely symbolic. It was planned. Do you know Jesus has a plan for you? It was dangerous. Being a Christian can be a costly business. Are you prepared to follow, or are you simply playing games? It showed that the King was coming. He is the King of Kings and Lord of all. Is he your Lord? And it showed that following Jesus is not just for the faint-hearted, but you know, it's the greatest thing that you would ever do. So to finish, I'm going to finish with some words from a very, very well-known hymn or carol. And they really, really fit. We know them off by heart, but they fit with what I think Palm Sunday's challenge is. It's these words. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would play my part. But what I have, I give him. I give my heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you call us. Lord, you call us to serve you. Lord, we thank you that you rode into Jerusalem that day. Lord, and we know what that cost. Father, we pray that as we contemplate Easter week, Lord, that we would be prepared to stand up for you, and that we would be open to what you want to say and do in our lives, and that we might be prepared to follow. And Lord, we know that there is power in your name, and at your name, every knee will bow. Amen.